Coming to you from the mega city metropolis of Toronto, you are listening to the Cave of Solitude. I am your host, Eric Anthony, and coming to you from a galaxy far, far away is the podcast princess herself, the one, the only,
Lady J.
There she is. Lady J, what's shaking?
Bacon.
A bacon is shaking? Mm-hmm. That's really lame.
I was on the spot. You always put me on the spot.
Well, the whole, we can't be scripted. Mm. You gotta be on the spot. That's what gives you all your great moments that people who listen to the podcast, all five of them, love the spontaneous moments. I can't script it. That's no fun.
And? What are we doing here now?
What are we doing here for this episode? I'm losing count of the episodes that we're on because we are on fuego.
You are on some kind of thing.
On thing? I'm on a tip?
Yeah.
I'm
You're
on
doing
it.
Great. Congratulations. Good for you.
You're the co-host, so congratulations to you as well.
Yeah, but you deal with the people.
From time to time. Yeah. But you are my main... Even if I didn't have the other guests on the show... We would still have like 100 episodes of Daff J.
of pure shenanigans.
Of just shenanigans.
It'd be a complete Seinfeld episode.
It's true.
Every episode would be a Seinfeld episode. It'd be about nothing.
Well, this episode is not going to be about nothing. This episode, we are going to travel to a galaxy far, far away a long time ago. And we go on an adventure talking about the latest addition to the Star Wars movie universe, Solo... A Star Wars Story. Is that what it's officially called? Solo, A Star Wars Story?
I think so. I think you're on.
Yes. Yes. Not. I was going to say Solo, A Star Wars Movie.
People, no. We promise we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, we did see it. Daff J saw all of it. Because I'll admit, Eric wakes up very early for work, which is not an excuse, but there are moments when during the week... Come around 8:30, 9 o'clock. I blink for a long time. Maybe for like 15, 20 seconds at a time. And when you're in a movie theater, 20 seconds, when your eyes open up again, you may think, what did I miss? And I saw the movie, so I have an honest opinion.
You saw it in parts.
No, I saw the full movie.
Let's be honest.
No, I saw...
Let's be truthful with the people.
Listen, I did... I saw the full movie. I know everything I saw. I know what it's about. I've read up on it. So I know what I'm talking about. But Daff J was...
You pulled a Shane is what you did.
I didn't leave to go read the Wikipedia. I swear. I stayed there the whole time.
No, but you missed pieces of it and then you read up on it. So
you know what? I thought I missed pieces of it. And when I did read up, for clarity, I'm like, I didn't miss anything.
Okay, great. That's all right.
So... Just for clarity, but Daff J on this one is definitely the expert and has...
Oh, don't say anything that will disappoint them now.
No. Not okay, expert is maybe hyperbole, but it's you're the... You went into it, you have a real... Not strong opinion, but a fair opinion of someone who saw it for what it was. I'm going to leave it at that and let you talk about the movie on your own.
Okay.
Without spoiling or saying this is the, she likes it or she hates it or whatever the case may be.
Okay.
Cool.
I'm thirsty though. Can we?
You want to keep talking? I'll pour you a drink.
What are you gonna make me? Oh, can I have a gin and tonic?
You want a gin and tonic?
Yeah.
Really, right now?
Yes.
Should I make it while we're recording?
Well, what am I supposed to say in the meantime?
You just keep talking.
Can we play some elevator music?
No,
it just, it
no
takes
elevator
off
music.
The pressure off from me.
Talk about Star Wars. Rank your favorite Star Wars movies.
The prequels don't exist.
No, they exist.
They don't exist.
If I sound far away from the mic, it's because I'm making Daff J a drink. So I'm here.
It's because he's playing co-host plus slash bartender. The prequels don't exist to me. I've said this before.
You have to rank them.
Why?
Because they do exist.
Okay, hold on. Let me write them down. Let me see what is... So there's the first one, then there's the next one, and then there's Return of the Jedi.
Nobody knows what the first one, the next one, is.
And then there's the prequel with the Phantom Menace, Then there's the next one where Jar Jar stops talking. And then the third one is when Anakin becomes Darth Vader. Yes?
Yes.
Am I saying this correctly?
Yes.
I grew up on these movies, but because I have a better recollection of what I know than what I don't like, right? Then comes... What comes after that? Then... Was it Rogue... Nope. It was Force Awakens. So that's when R2 is sleeping and Luke Skywalker is missing. And Han Solo and Chewbacca are home. I remember the first time I saw that preview, I clapped in the middle of the theater. Then Rogue One.
Yeah.
Okay, so then Rogue One happened.
I'm back.
And did we get some lime in here?
Yes, you did.
Wow, that was spiffy.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then Rogue One happened. Everybody died.
Yeah.
So, sad face. And then...
Last Jedi.
And then Last Jedi, which was... They find Luke.
Yeah. And Luke, you got milk out of a monster. Teat.
And they kill Snoke.
Right.
Snoke kaputs.
Okay.
Okay. But Rogue One was a prequel to...
It was in between the prequels and the classic.
So Rogue One branch. Belongs like, in here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm making myself a little graph.
This is a very confusing graph. So with the ones you see written down there on the paper now, how would you rank them?
Okay.
So the
how many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in total?
And now 10 with the Star Wars.
And then Solo. Am I ranking Solo in here? Not yet.
Maybe at the end.
Maybe at the end. So how many? 10.
Yeah.
Okay. So this prequels 1, 2, and 3
mm-hmm.
are... They're all just the last.
So they're 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah, but they're all really 10, though.
Okay.
They're all terrible.
Okay. Which is the worst of them? Which is your least favorite of the prequels?
Oh, that's
odd. Or we could be here all day talking about
yes,
that. All right.
We're not going to waste that kind of time. Okay. Five.
That's four.
No, I mean, four starts...
Everything.
This whole thing.
Right.
So that's amazing. Five... And then six, Darth Vader dies as a good guy.
How would you rate them?
I'm working on
you're
it.
You're taking a really, just, which ones come to your mind? Which is your favorite Star Wars movie? If someone said, which is the best one? Which one would you say?
Okay, as a kid, okay. See, you never get me prepared. Can anybody tell me anyone the Sam Noir and the Adam Chaplin and all these other people that Eric has interviewed? Did you guys get pre-warned with questions you were going to get asked?
Not at all.
Really?
Never.
Okay. I'm going to say I like five.
Empire Strikes Back.
That's my fave.
That's your fave.
That's my fave.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
That's it? We're done?
Yeah.
Okay. That was all for me to go and make you a drink. You made it a whole, like, puzzle. And
yeah.
Your diagram doesn't make any sense.
What
but
do
that's
you mean?
Okay.
There's
no.
Arrows and smiley or unhappy faces.
So,
yeah.
Since the inception of our podcast, there have now been four Star Wars-related films in the last...
This is delicious, by the way. Thank you.
No problem. In the last 3 years, 3 to 4 years, there's been four Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like a golden age for any fan of the series or the Star Wars universe, because they just got all kinds of content coming out. They're building an amusement park at Disney now that's going to be just Star Wars. It's a pretty incredible time to be a Star Wars fan. However, do you feel that the influx of all of this stuff now, it's all good because it's just what everyone loves? Or do you think it's it can become a watered down thing where the novelty of it is going to no longer be what it was when The Force Awakens came out and kind of reopened the doors to that childhood nostalgia.
So your question, if we were to simplify it, was, is it over...
saturated.
Yes.
Yeah.
The answer to me is no.
So you can take a Star Wars movie every year and you're happy.
I think I could, because I think Star Wars has so many... there, of course, it has its main characters, mm-hmm. but I don't think Star Wars has particularly relied on that. The initial movies were very much the Skywalker family.
Right.
But even in comic books or novels, they've branched off and told separate stories about other favored characters, like Boba Fett, or like even bad guys. Like there's so much to the galaxy that it has to offer. So I think... and I think this last movie is a testament to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. No, I just
maybe the atmosphere and environment it takes place can be overly saturated, but at the end of the day, it's the investment in the person. The storytelling of the person is what keeps me interested.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to see, because this release particularly, it seems as though you've got people who are going to go and see it, and then some people who just... they're neither here nor there about it right now. And I'm not sure if it's the character of Solo, the response that it's been getting, or if it's just Star Wars in general. Like, you had a lot of mixed reaction from the last movie in the Star Wars proper like continuity.
Yeah.
Some people absolutely loved it. Some people were confused. So I feel like there's becoming a little bit of a division of people's excitement from here on forward. I'll always go watch them. I mean, I can still at times watch the prequels and enjoy them for what they are. I like Star Wars.
I would never do that. But to answer your initial question, I like 5.
Okay.
Followed by 6.
Okay.
Nope. I like 5. Followed by 4.
Right.
Followed by 6.
Right.
Followed by...
Force Awakens. I'm only going by your chart. I can read it.
Followed by Rogue One.
Okay.
Followed by Last Jedi.
All right. And then somewhere Solo fits into that.
Somewhere, yeah.
Okay.
We'll find out at the end. Stay tuned. Bum, bum, bum.
So were you excited for...
That was a little anticlimactic. You asked me this question, I answer it to you, and then you just move on?
10 minutes later. So what it tells me is all the stuff I've been talking about, you haven't been listening to.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you've been doing check marks on your little post-it note just so you could get a gin and tonic. You're not even drinking it. Sip up.
It's almost halfway.
No, it's not halfway.
I said almost halfway.
Okay.
Okay, repeat your question. Go ahead. Were you even asking a question?
Yeah, I was.
Okay,
I was.
Go for it.
Bum, bum, bum. Were you excited for the prospect of seeing more prequel movies? Because that's what these are. Rogue One is a prequel. Now Solo's a prequel. Does that excite you to see the stories being told of characters that were beloved and now kind of getting their history? Or do you like... I know these are long questions. Or do you like your characters as... I don't need to see that part. I like... the movies where they started and where they ended.
I'm good either way.
Okay.
I'm good either way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think for a lot of us, we love the content, the gaps being filled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and oh, that's a great, what's the word I'm looking for here? That's a great anecdote of how that came to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's even like, this has nothing to do with the other, but when you watch something like This Is Us on television, you've got the story that's taking place in real time, but then you go back and all these little gaps are filled that you feel, oh, that
it
means
explains,
so much more now,
yeah.
Right? And a lot of people like that. And then some people can get to the point where you're just ruining what my imagination was of how this happened.
Mm-hmm. But so that doesn't mean it taints what you originally... I understand that frustration. If someone were to say that to me, I get where you're coming from. But that doesn't mean it's still yours to hang on to, right?
Right.
You can still look at this character the way you've always believed them to be, and not let affect what someone else thinks that they should be. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Let's give the plot synopsis of this movie. We won't read the whole thing because on Wikipedia it's long. So I will look for a shorter version of it and get you to read it for us. Again,
I'm terrible
putting
at reading.
You on the spot. That's okay.
No, it's like I'm having
a stroke.
Yeah.
It's okay. Well, this time you won't have a stroke. Can you read that? Right there.
Young Han Solo finds adventure when he joins a gang of galactic smugglers, including a 196-year-old Wookiee named Chewbacca. Indebted to the gangster Dryden Vos, the crew devises a daring plan to travel to the mining planet Kessel to steal a batch of valuable coaxium. And the only reason I know these words is because I heard them said in the movie. If not, I'd be...
having a show.
I'd be having... in need of a fast ship, Solo meets Lando Calrissian, the suave owner of the perfect vessel for the dangerous mission, the Millennium Falcon.
Okay, so spoilers from here on. We're gonna talk about things randomly, but I don't think we should ruin the whole experience. But we're gonna throw things out there randomly.
We might though. Yeah. I might.
So, how do you want to do this? Do you want to talk about whether you liked it right off the hop or save that score to the end?
How do we normally do it?
I don't know. We don't have a set.
We don't have
procedure.
A template.
We don't have a template. We're off the cuff.
I thought it was fun.
It was fan?
Fun.
Fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
I liked it.
You liked it.
I liked it.
Okay.
I feel like I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Those that I experienced this movie with were kind of underwhelmed.
Who did you experience it with?
The Fastball Specials, Martin Slam Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
His brother.
Dan.
You.
Mm-hmm.
And his cousin, not his name is not what I said it was. I was corrected.
It's okay.
Him.
Yeah.
And then another guy.
Okay.
Although the other two, they were in their own little world at the end. Like, I think they were discussing
something.
Talking
about it.
But the you and the Martin and the brother, I feel like you guys maybe weren't so much happy with the whole thing.
I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was a, for the best way to describe
it
is
forced.
It's a space western. It's a fun space western. My thing was, and I guess we should save this to the end, but that's okay. We're gonna go backwards. I don't know how necessary this story was to tell.
Hmm. Why?
I feel that I like when they build upon a character's backstory and show you the things they never did. But the way this was done, I didn't feel that I necessarily saw the story of the guys that I end up meeting in the cantina. I just didn't feel that connection to it, because some of the things that they do in this story to get the ball rolling as far as the plot goes in the beginning, it just didn't do it for me. I wasn't engaged immediately.
In the beginning of what?
In the beginning of the movie where Han and his love interest are trying to smuggle some, I think it's coaxium,
mm-hmm.
in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
because it's worth a lot of money in trading as a fuel. I just didn't feel that Han, his whole purpose would be a love interest. That would get the ball rolling for him to go out into the universe to...
I didn't say this movie was perfect.
No.
I just said it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And I completely agree with that. It's a fun popcorn movie. You go, you're going to have a good time. But I just... It was one of those things where... Here's what I liked. I'd rather talk about what I liked.
That's interesting.
I liked seeing him meet Chewie for the first time. That's... great to see them meet. I love those type of things. How Chewie was imprisoned.
Oh, it was so sad.
To be a beast, to, like, eat people and to feed, you know, go feed
He was
the
tortured.
Beast. He was, like, used as a monster.
He was a slave.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And what's interesting about that is that at the end of Revenge of the Sith, you see that Chewie was alive and was a, what's the word? A peer or a contemporary of Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
So you see Chewbacca there, and you're like, oh, there's Chewie before the days he becomes a smuggler.
Right.
So filling that gap and seeing kind of what happened to him and his people,
mm-hmm.
that brings you, you're not happy to see him there, but it's like, oh, that's where he ended up.
Right.
And that's how him and Han came into contact with each other. So to see, spoilers, Han know how to speak the Wookiee language,
mm-hmm.
and that there was a kinship there, and they were kind of going back and forth saving each other. That was cool. But Han's motivation to do what he was doing just so that he could go back and rescue a girl, it just didn't do it for me.
I understand your point. I see your point.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I just wonder if it's just... It was... if it contributed to who he ended up being in the future. For example... If for any reason at all, this girl and his situation with her took a turn for the worse kind of thing, sometimes trauma does that to a person where they close off mm-hmm. from the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you're right. It's kind of cliche that they would make it a love story kind of thing where he's doing all this stuff for love.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a... it's not a far-fetched idea that he's so cold and so me first and so uninvested in other people. It's like me and my and this me and myself. That's
yes.
it. I'm here
and
just to serve
liked...
me, and I'm not here to trust anyone. I'll
right.
screw anyone over if they get in my way. So I think something like that, perhaps we don't know how much more of the story there was that is, involves them, but I think it can... elaborate who he becomes later on, being cold
right.
and unattached.
Right.
And I think that's a nice way of explaining that part of him.
I completely agree. And I think, though, that's part of my problem. As much as I agree with you, perhaps I disagree in how I viewed it. Because if what makes him become the person that we know him to be in the later films, I feel that the person he starts off as in this movie... and what his motivations are through this movie, it just wouldn't end up being that person if that's who he was at the core of being just the guy who, I gotta go and rescue the girl. I gotta go back and find my girlfriend. I feel there should have been more things happening to him throughout the movie, and it is explored, but he's so concerned with that relationship throughout the whole thing. Am I right? Am I wrong? Did I miss that?
No, I think you're right. Because he, for... what was it, 3 years he was trying to go back until he...
Yeah. I feel like I would have rather seen this movie in vignettes, meaning life in pieces. I would have rather seen the story told as a life in pieces episode. And each vignette is the time Han met Chewie. And that story, that little 20-minute arc is told, how he met Chewie, how he got there. The first time Han and Chewie meet Lando. And then that's their little thing with Lando. And him having to learn...
I don't know if that's possible on the big screen, though.
I think it would be tricky. It would be tricky to do. But I think it could be done. And with a character like Han Solo to kind of explain how he gets to where he goes, I don't think you have to tell a story of he joined the Imperial... the Imperial Guard and wanted to be a pilot, but he became a pilot so he can fly back to that planet. And then he became a smuggler because he realized when he was a part of the what's it called? The Flight Academy, he saw that he became an infantryman, and during a battle on the planet there, he realizes that there's a couple of people posing as infantrymen, but really they're smugglers, and that's Woody Harrelson's character. What was his name? Tobias Beckett? And he blackmails them to bring them with him. Like, there are Han Solo-esque things, but But the motivation, I would have rather seen him and Chewie create a bond of like, we're always getting backstabbed. You keep protecting me, I keep protecting you, because that's all we got. I would have rather seen that story, their survival, in that way, as opposed to trying to, I don't know. It just, there was a certain disconnect after a while. I'm like, why?
I hear you and I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm just arguing the point. See, I'm agreeing and then arguing that.
Yeah, no, that's
maybe
the point.
Maybe that was just their only in on also trying to, dare I say, win the, like, a woman's viewers. Girls like love.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're attracted to that storyline. They want romance. They want, and I don't know if maybe they were trying to expand that a little bit and start early to gain a higher viewing.
Maybe.
Does that make any sense? It sounds
perhaps.
Very sexist of me
to say
that.
No,
but
I think in order for the movie to appeal to a broader audience, yeah, you got to do stuff like that.
You got to appeal to the masses, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't care for it. But I think a lot of people do. They want to see some sexy time on the screen.
Yeah, and that's fair. I guess too, the reason why that's a problem for me, and it sounds petty to be like, well, you don't, like, why is that such a... It's because we know, in these stories, we know where they end up.
Yeah.
So you know that when he meets Princess Leia, they have that tension and denial of what they feel towards each other.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of breaks him, and he breaks her. But you see that tough exterior constantly in the
beginning. Yeah, but where did that tough exterior come from?
That's the point.
This is probably the story behind that.
Right. And so instead of him being so attached to this one person the whole time and knowing, like, he's going to end up with Leia. Like, that's really the person he loves. I'd rather have seen him immediately be heartbroken and betrayed. Immediately.
Right.
And sold into...
So basically you resent the fact that you were invested in this chick that was like...
There's no point of her.
There's no real...
She's...
But then this whole movie, there's no point to it.
That's it.
But that's not...
But I...
Didn't you like the fact that there was backstory to... Like, for example... It's true. I understand what you're saying. Like, are these really necessary when you know the inevitability and outcome of certain characters? For example... Some of the little adventures that they were on, and they're gonna get sucked in through a, you know, a hole, or like they were gonna die, they were getting shot out. In the back of my mind, I'm like, they're gonna make it.
Right.
They're gonna live.
Right.
Because he ends up, you know, being with the princess, and
yeah.
He ends up going against Darth Vader, and he ends up, you know, but having some kind of, what is it? Having some insight in what's going to happen is kind of exciting, too.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they're going to make it, but how did they make it
right.
out of this?
Yes, yes.
There's some kind of appeal to that.
Yeah.
The idea that him and Lando had this rift in...
Empire.
In Empire, where they're like, you cheated me, you did that and this, and it's like, now there's context to those... To the words that were used, you know what I mean? Like, you got to see it, you got to understand where that animosity came from.
Right.
And it wasn't just his word against Lando's, but you actually got to see the relationship become and get complicated and dwindle.
I would have rather seen the whole movie about that.
I hear you.
That's the thing. Because for him to go back to... In Empire Strikes Back, be like, I knew a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And when Lando looks at him and Harris, or not, Han Solo, is like, oh, I don't know what, because the last time we saw each other, I stole the ship from him, or I won the ship from him. I would have liked there to have been more of a relationship before he swindled him for the ship, for Lando to be so excited when he hugs him.
Right.
So I would have liked to see them always running in those same
smuggler
circles.
But that's when Leia
years.
Said, I don't like this. Something about that guy. I don't like him.
Right.
So she picked up on the fact that there was something off about him.
Right.
Also, I like the fact that in Empire, Lando calls him Han.
Yeah.
And it always bugged me. I'm like, yeah. His name is Han Solo. Why is he calling him Han?
Yeah, yeah.
And then in this one, he actually called him Han. He's like, it's Han. Like, he's like, and then on purpose to kind of stick it to him more, Lando would keep referring to Han Solo as Han. And then I feel like it was, I'm not saying the movie was perfect. It was entertaining to me. And I found that it was those little things that accentuated the, that made it special for me.
Yes. The things that were already...
The things that could have very easily fallen through the cracks, that's what they used to kind of elevate it a bit.
Because that's what you already knew of the characters. You already... Because you know where their relationship ends up, that's the part you want to see. Him and Chewie. Him and Lando. And Lando and Chewie are the shining parts of this movie. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Donald Glover, I totally believe that was Lando Calrissian as a young man.
Yeah.
I saw him more... Then I saw, what's this guy's name here? Eldon Ehrenreich. I couldn't see the Han.
It took a minute. It took a little minute. Yeah.
Whereas Lando, I immediately saw, like,
fun fact.
That's him. Yeah.
Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Who plays Lando.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what his first toy as a kid was?
Boba Fett. I'm just joking. Lando Calrissian?
You know what? I shouldn't have told you. That's what it was. As he was a kid, that was his first action figure or toy as a kid.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
To know that you'd be playing that guy, and he did such a good job.
He, before seeing the movie, obviously,
mm-hmm.
I bought him from day one. I'm like, that's Lando. The facial expressions, the way he worked the cape,
mm-hmm.
his cockiness, he had a swag that was very reminiscent of the Lando that we've known for over 40 years. And I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, no, he really did.
40 years? 30.
40.
40?
Almost, yeah. Almost, not quite.
Whatever.
Pretty. No, I'm just trying to do the math in my head, because sometimes you don't realize...
Came out 77.
And Empire came out, what, 80...
6?
81? I think...
I don't even know.
I think Jedi came out in 83, I think. So, back to this plot where we're watching them, Han gets expelled from the Flight Academy, like we said, and he's on the infantry
squad. Oh, we're all over the place on this one.
We are. It's okay. It's our show.
I'm just saying. I never complained. I just said.
I'm just going back to his relationship now with this guy, Tobias Beckett from Woody Harrelson, who was played by Woody Harrelson. What did you think of that character in regards to the narrative of Han becoming Han Solo that we later see? Did you feel he was like, oh yeah, I guess if that was his mentor, that would happen?
I liked him.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Until the end.
But, and again, that's part of the thing, right? Is the time spent with these people who were so formative to what he becomes.
That was Rogue One, man.
Yeah, but see...
Same thing.
This is the difference, though, with Rogue One. Rogue One is telling you a story that... You always heard about that the plans of this rogue group...
All they said was good people died getting this to us.
That's right. And it really helped explain how the Death Star was so easy to be beat with that one shot. And the difference was... And at first, the challenge when I watched Rogue One is I wasn't invested in any of these characters because I had never seen them before.
It was like a clean slate.
Clean slate, new characters. Mm-hmm. So... Spoilers, at the end of Rogue One, all of the characters you meet...
I think everybody
knows
what happened.
Just in case people haven't watched it...
Come on!
They kick the bucket. They don't make it. You won't see them again, perhaps, right? For all intents and purposes, they're gone.
Maybe they come back as, like, phantoms.
Maybe. I don't know. But they don't make an appearance ever again in the universe, the Star Wars universe. So you watch this movie, and you really appreciate now... who these people were in what they were doing to help the rebellion. And it explains why things went a certain way directly into the next movie. But this movie, on the other hand, is taking a character who you've now seen for 4 movies, you've invested 40 years into loving him and his partner Chewbacca, and now you're being told how he became who he was.
I feel like you're ruining this for me.
And that's what I was scared would happen. That's what I was scared would happen.
I don't disagree with anything. Believe me, I agree with you. I hear you. I understand and I respect it. And I see it. But I still don't think it takes away with how entertaining it was.
Absolutely
how
not.
How fun it was. How
it was. All those things.
As obvious as it may have been, there was still certain things that were new and impressive.
There were. I guess for me, it now having this be the backstory of his life, when I watch the Star Wars proper, this is now going to be my reference point for every point made.
Does it have to be,
it
though?
It does, though, because it's in continuity. It is.
The prequels are... I don't use those as reference at all.
That's just your choice.
But that's what I'm saying.
No, I know, but...
We all have a choice.
Yeah.
We all...
But you can't ignore the fact that Anakin is found by Qui-Gon and raised by Obi-Wan and
yeah,
just,
I can.
You can't.
What I can't ignore is that Anakin is Darth Vader. He is Luke Skywalker's father. That I can't ignore, but and I won't. But who got him and who found him and where'd he go and da 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 da. I don't business.
Okay.
I don't care.
You omit.
He threw a hissy fit.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
there was a little bit of, some adult child situation going on. It's a little finicky for me. It's not impressive.
So you just omit it from your memory.
I think anybody should. When there's a child and a woman, isn't that called a cougar or something? Or
she wasn't. There's 10-year difference. I've seen that relationship in real life happen. So, multiple times.
Okay.
At least
but
three.
But it's happened when they were older. Like.
No. Anakin was in his 20s. He was 20. Padme was 30. I've seen it happen.
Yeah, but it's been a minute. Like, he was feeling ways from time.
I've seen it happen.
Moving on. Let's move on.
So, no, it's true.
Oh, look, there's nothing.
So,
scoping out the place.
It was totally fun. Not to take anything away from people who loved it and had a good time watching it. It was totally fun. I just felt that there were certain parts of it for me that...
Even the fact that Chewie ripped someone's arms out of their sockets. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's reference to that. If you were a Star Wars fan, you would know that, that is what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
They don't have to comment on it. It just happens.
Right.
And there's a mutual understanding as to why certain things are happening. That's what I liked about the movie.
Did you find it to have kind of like a...
I feel like when you say things to me, like, did you find it? Or what did you... I feel like you already know. You already want me to answer a certain way. Like, you already have your idea of
actually
what I should say.
No.
And if I don't, you already have a rebuttal at the tip of your tongue.
No. This is not that at all. You're so paranoid. You're a freak. Did you find that it kind of... For me, and I want to know if you found it as well, it kind of had a Guardians of the Galaxy feel? With the relationship of, like, Beckett was kind of like a Yondu to Han Solo's Peter Quill, and that they were the smuggler, kind of always on that. Like, I say that because when Beckett reveals that he was ordered to steal a shipment for that guy Dryden Voss, right? That was really his mission, and there's this whole syndicate. I felt like that relationship was very similar, the Yondu and Peter Quill.
Not until you mentioned it now, no.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't see a comparison or similarity.
Okay.
Maybe that's my bad for not seeing it, but I...
Not to say that they copied Guardians. It's more that Guardians... I when I watched Guardians, I felt like I was watching a Star Wars-esque type of movie.
No.
No? You didn't see it? Okay.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But I could see why you would say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you like the fact that... See, I would have preferred, and I wonder how you feel about it, had he never gotten back to the girl, as opposed to her returning and working for the Crimson Syndicate, Kira. It's the love interest. Han Solo's love interest is Kira in the movie, played by, let me get her name correct, Emilia Clarke. Very pretty girl.
Too pretty.
Yeah.
Too pretty for a Star Wars movie. That is my complaint in this whole thing.
That's your whole
There's
complaint.
No reason why you should be looking that good, fighting that many people that look that butt ugly. There's no, I didn't see, I felt that was, they were leaning too much on this girl. Like right. you said, on the love story, yeah. I thought that was a little forced.
Right.
And I don't see her point in any of this.
Yes. See,
I didn't see.
That's the thing.
The idea that she wasn't able to leave with him. And then when they finally found each other, it was kind of like a dismissive, yeah, don't worry about it. I didn't make it, but it's fine. I'm here now.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. Can we talk about this a little bit?
That was sloppy.
It was just, I found it, that I found unnecessary.
I would have, see, yes. I would have rather seen her be killed in the very beginning. When they were trying to make an escape, he loses something that was very, very important to him. And that loss and heartbreak now affects him forever to never want to get too close to a woman. Because the fear
but you don't
of
know.
Loss.
But it seems as if she's playing both sides a little bit.
Right.
So maybe the fear of loss is translated in betrayal. We don't know that yet.
It's true. It's true. But that's the point is I don't need a sequel to tell me that story. I don't want to have them to say so.
True just, enough.
So
I'm just trying to answer your questions.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. I'm just feeling like seeing her come back and have to go on the mission... It's just, it's, again, keeping the female character in it as a love interest to Han. Whereas I would have preferred as character development, for me, seeing him lose it, lose the person, lose his mind over it, and become kind of this disconnected, like, I can't get close to a woman.
I don't know if you caught on yet, but I'm more impressed with the backstory and little hidden... stuff, hidden gems that revolve around Chewie and
yes.
Han himself and Lando. I have no interest in this girl.
And that's the saving grace for me for the movie, is those things.
Yeah.
That's why I still like it.
Yeah.
And that's why I'll still own this movie as part of my collection, and I'll probably enjoy it more off of subsequent watches
mm-hmm.
to be like, oh, there's something that you don't see the first time around. That was cool that they added that. Because it's just a fun popcorn movie.
Right.
But again, I'm watching it feeling as they're really trying to explain. I don't want them to just make the movie for the sake of making the movie.
Mm.
Because that's when the product becomes...
Too bad, it's already happened.
I know. And it just makes you, going forward, you don't want them to... Because this is not performing well already.
Really?
Yeah, it's not
performing really?
Well. Yeah.
What do you mean? Spill the beans.
They call it sputtering at the box office.
I still don't know what that means.
So it was projected to make, I think, over 100
of course.
Million. And
of course.
It's not going to make that. It's like
Can I say something?
Yeah.
It was a little surprising because I went with you guys at the IMAX opening night.
Right.
And it was a little empty.
Yeah.
But how does that happen on opening night?
I don't know. Both times I've been to the IMAX with Martin, it's been rammed. Jam-packed.
Rammed. I don't know if I like that word. I'm just saying.
Jammed is better?
Yeah.
Full.
Jam-packed. So what I'm saying is, how do people know not to go to opening night for you to have an opinion? That's what I'm trying to
They see pre-purchased tickets. They've already calculated that opening weekend to project what it's going to look
like. So it's
like
a soft opening?
Yeah.
That's happening somewhere else in the world?
Yeah, kind of. When the film premieres, maybe in across seas or somewhere like that. But they can also see from, here's how many tickets are purchased for Thursday night opening viewing. And then Friday night, how many people have already purchased tickets. Now, these other movies, name a Marvel movie for instance, Infinity War, already from the pre-tickets, we're going to be making this much money. And that's not counting all the people.
Who gets these pre-tickets?
Who calculates it?
Who gets them? How do you get pre-tickets?
Oh, online, right? It's just like Martin got the pre-tickets. Shout out to Martin Slam Dunk. We keep dropping his name. he buys the tickets a month in advance.
Okay,
when they go
so
on
you
sale.
Purchase the pre-ticket, but you haven't seen it yet.
No, you haven't seen
so
it.
So how do you know it's not worth going to see? That is my question.
Well, the reviews. The reviews come in. So you got people with their anticipation that's built for the movie... kind of is dictated by, okay, a month in advance, this movie's not selling out the way, or selling the way this one did. And as we approach it, the reviews that are coming in, the buzz about it is...
Could it be that it was just released at the wrong time? Because Infinity War just came out not, what?
A month ago.
Really? Really? Already a month?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And that has to do with it, too, because Infinity War... Because
normally, doesn't Disney release their movies during Christmas? Like, they... That's their shtick, right?
The Star Wars ones.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Hello, Wars. Disney. That's what I said.
Well, Disney's everything.
Okay, yeah, right, fine, show off.
Not show off. Show off.
So Star Wars always comes out Christmas.
Usually, yeah.
That's... Everyone's home.
Yeah, it's just... It, I guess you associate that season with going to watch that movie, right? So I guess now people, it's out of their, perhaps out of their habit
or so
their tradition.
If we skip to the end.
Okay.
You're saying the Star Wars did not do well thus far.
So Solo is not doing what it's project what is projected.
In comparison to the rest of the Star Wars movies,
yeah.
Or just even in...
Just for what, for, as a Star Wars movie, what they usually do and the budget that was... put into this movie and what it looks like it's going to get as a return. It's just not looking as positive as usual.
Why would you say that would that that's happening?
I don't think the movie's as good as the other ones are. Again, I don't know how necessary the story is, as well as the fact that this movie had a little bit in the production process. The original directors quit or were fired over creative differences. And then Ron Howard was brought on to complete it.
Why didn't you tell me this? I didn't know any of this drama.
What, ahead of the recording? Or before we went to watch it?
At all.
You watch the news every morning. These are on the tickers every morning. That's where I saw it.
I don't see that. I don't watch... I watch CNN. I watch the heavy stuff. Hello.
It would be there.
Civil rights, Black Lives Movement, Black Lives... BLM. That's
oh
what
boy.
I do. That's all me. I don't pay attention to the little CP24 snippets at the end.
That's where I saw it. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I have the same availability to news access as you. So, yeah, that was kind of the... going into this thing.
So, can I ask you something?
Mm-hmm.
Having known this without telling me, were you at all eager to still see this movie? Or were you already... See, that's the other reason why I kind of ignore...
Yeah.
I see the trailer once.
Yeah.
Everybody, if you're a listener of the show, you would know I only watch a trailer one time. And I ignore everything and everybody else. Because I want to just form my own opinion.
Yeah.
So what did you already kind of have a hesitation about?
I knew I wanted to see it. Knew I was going to see it no matter what. I just wasn't. I had a feeling about it on my own that I just wasn't sure. Wasn't sure about the guy who was cast as Han. I wasn't sure about what story they were going to tell. And I already knew. Okay, we're going to see him meet Chewie. We're going to see him meet Lando. We're going to see him do the Kessel Run, and we're going to see him steal.
I didn't know he was going to meet Chewie.
I
thought there was gonna be kind of like how Force Awakens and Rogue One and all these, you know how they kind of just pick up?
Yes.
That's what I thought this movie was
I
would
be hoping
like.
That's what it would be like. I was kind of hoping that it would be right off the hop.
So what's the biggest critique of this movie that you've heard?
The plot's kind of pointless.
Okay.
It takes a while for it to get invested into it,
mm-hmm.
but it is fun, and it's fun. That's the way you described it is the best criticism. It's not a necessary movie. Donald Glover is great, but the plot is kind of meh.
It's weak.
Yeah, to get to where you got to get to, and going through what he goes through in the movie. The way that they show it doesn't really make you feel like you understand why he ends up in the cantina. I would have rather seen him and Chewie already working for Jabba or headed.
I like that there was that insinuation at the end.
Of course, you have to put that there, but I would have liked to see the story of how he was. What led him to owe Jabba money? That's
BLM,
what I wanted to see.
BLM.
Yeah.
And DSWT.
What are you talking about?
That's what I'm into.
What's DSWT?
The David Sheldrick Wildlife Trust.
Oh, brother. You're out of control.
That's what I...
Way off, like,
I know,
topic.
I was thinking about it.
Do you know what this movie did make me appreciate? The concept of wearing capes. Lando knows how to wear a cape.
I said that.
Did you?
I did. See? I'm not the only one who doesn't listen to the other
what?
One.
Can you describe coaxium to me?
It's a blue gel. It's a blue, shiny gel.
And what does it do?
It gets hot.
It's like a fuel,
when
right?
It's not in its proper properties.
Okay, proper and, property.
And can combust when not in a controlled field.
Okay. Who was Emphys and the Cloud Riders?
That was, like bursts of rocks.
Bursts of rocks?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
What are you talking about?
The person who was, they were trying to steal the coaxium from Han and Beckett, and they were going to use it to help fund the rebellion. Remember those people that he met?
The black people? The Black Lives Matter movement in the movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there was a commentary on colonizing and slavery and all of that. That's what it was about, no?
That's why you liked it. Those are the real parts you liked about this. Look at the grin on your face. You're like, I caught that. I'm so proud of myself. I could see through the commentary.
I also think that the droid in the movie was...
Oh, yeah.
An ethnic person.
That's right. That is a big... talking point of this movie.
She had hips, she had a swag,
you're
she
right,
had attitude.
You're right. Yeah.
What was her name? L3?
L337. That is a great point that you bring that up. We can't have this episode without talking about the droid because it was the first time in the Star Wars universe
where they insinuate perhaps a love interest between a machine and a person.
Yeah. That was very interesting.
It was a little
strange.
A little strange.
Yeah. Again, see little things like that that they're using that is just kind of like, I just don't see Lando.
Although, in Empire, he does have his little...
buddy there?
His buddy there with the headphones.
Yeah, but that's like his sidekick, not his lover.
We don't know.
Okay, maybe.
We don't know, because now this guy had flesh and bones. Right?
Yeah, but...
She was like the conception of what could be. I don't know. I'm taking it far.
You're taking
I'm going
it
crazy.
Far. Yeah, no, that was interesting. I
don't know why they would insinuate that. I think.
I'm telling you, in a couple years, the next civil rights movement is going to be rights for machines.
Please tell people. Okay, you know what? I'm going to tell it.
Okay.
Because when you say it, it's.
And it started in this movie. You could see now that they're already headed in that direction.
You know what?
It.
When they spoke on the matter like this. Your theory popped into my mind. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna hear it now. From here, so okay, this is how it started. Short story long.
That's the only way you know how to do it.
I watched this thing on YouTube where they were actually introducing the Google phone or whatever. Oh, Google Assist.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what they're able to do or will be able to do is have your Google Assist make phone calls on your behalf, whether it's to book a reservation at a restaurant, make an appointment for you at the hair salon. And what they've done is they implemented like real English language synonyms or idioms or whatever it is in order for it to sound like a real person.
Mm-hmm.
It freaked me out a little bit because, oh my God, little brother, right?
Big brother.
Oh, little brother's the rap.
Yeah.
Big brother, 1984.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. And so I shared this with Eric, and he's like, "That's it, the machines are coming. Terminator 2 is real," and he got all sensitive about it. And I'm like, "Okay, take it easy. It's not, you know, it's a little freaky deaky, but like, you know, this is technology. This is the world we live in." And he's like, "You know what's gonna happen? What's gonna happen is everyone's gonna have their artificial intelligence person." In their home, and what they're gonna do is they're gonna give them rights, and it's gonna get all out of control. And I'm like, what are you talking about, man? That's not gonna happen. He's like, no, because your AI is gonna be like doing your laundry and cooking your food, and because it doesn't have feelings, and it could potentially, like, burn down the house because it doesn't have those natural senses to know what's safe or what's dangerous, they're going to implement those things, and then what's going to happen is people are going to be attached to their Google robot, and they're going to take over the world, and they're going to have, you know, some kind of da-da-da-da-da, and Eric got all heated about it, and I was like, you're insane, and he's like, no, I'm not, just watch in, like, 5-10 years, that's how it's gonna be, and then this movie came out, and then I was like, oh my God.
Let me ask you a question, Daft J, as you continue. When you watch Star Wars...
Oh, I cry every time. Cry every time. R2-D2,
that's it.
BB-8, they are...
You would save them...
I would.
Before I would. Any... Humanoid, alien, yeah. You'd save them before Chewie.
Yes. No, I would still want to save Chewie.
You would save Chewie, but you'd save
R2. I would save animals and machines before a human being. I know about myself.
And you're the reason why.
I'm going to start the movie.
That's going to be your...
I'm going to be the reason why you're going to lose your shit.
Droids Live Matters. That's going to be you. DLM.
I'm going to be the founder of the...
I'm telling you.
I mean, it's all fun and games, right? But... I feel like this movie kind of crossed that line a little bit when they... At first, I thought the machine, because it kind of introduced the idea she was a little too smart for her own good kind of thing, because they couldn't wipe out her memory because mm-hmm. she had this other thing, so it mm-hmm. made her invaluable. So she kind of was a little bit more real than she needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But... So I thought she was just trying to be witty when she's like, he loves me and I love him. But there's this unspoken tension between us. And I'm like, oh, she's trying to be funny.
Hmm.
They're trying to do a little humor. And
maybe not.
Then there was like this Romeo Juliet scene that was happening. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know about that. I
told you. It's coming. So.
You said this was an interesting point. Now you're ready to move on?
It wasn't, but you explained it perfectly. You went point for point with me and you were talking about the other day. I couldn't explain it. And actually, it was a shorter story long. Or, I mean, a longer story short. You did it.
I'm practicing.
Yeah, good. You came through. So.
Does anybody believe this? Does anybody think this is actually going to happen? I'd like to say.
It's going
to
happen.
Can we take a vote?
It's gonna
can someone
happen.
Email in and say, yeah, I think he's onto something? Or can someone say, you know. He's losing it. He's exaggerating. He's getting a little too sensitive. I like to take a poll on this for real. I'd like to know what people are thinking.
People.
And I think you may be like onto something. We're at a patio today, and people were talking about Alexa this, and Alexa's amazing, and Alexa. And I'm like, who's Alexa? Like, I want her to be my friend. No, they were saying all these wonderful things about Alexa, and then I understood the conversation being that they were talking about the Google Alexa.
Think of how often you talk to Alexa, to your Google.
I don't talk to Alexa.
Who do you talk to?
No one.
When you got a question lately, you're not asking, you don't say Eric. You used to say Eric. You know that you don't do that no more. Every now and then I hear you talking in the other room to Google. Okay, Google.
I didn't know my phone could do that.
Yeah, but now Google, you're saying thank you.
Can I say something?
Thank you, Google.
Okay, because I'm Canadian. And now that you said that, and now that I said that, guess what happened?
What happened?
So that time that I said, because it just came out of me. Because I asked the question. The machine, I know it's a machine, told me the answer. And just out of habit. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Google. And then it replied to me saying, you're welcome. That's Canadian politeness at its best.
It actually said that to me. You and Google... are starting a friendship.
And I gotta say, when that happened, I looked at my phone and I'm like, yeah, this can't happen again. I think I even shut off my phone that night.
Because
it did scare me a little bit. But
you're a sucker. DLM. Mm. All right, should we spoil the big reveal at the end of the movie?
Was it really a reveal?
Yeah, it was.
Know.
It was. So... Beckett, Tobias Beckett, played by Woody Harrelson,
don't spoil it completely. Give this movie a chance to redeem itself.
Is working for this
guy Dryden Voss.
We know that already.
Who's a crime boss in the Crimson Dawn Syndicate. They have a higher
everybody.
Like it's a mafia.
There's every boss has a boss has a boss.
Right. So the person that they're really all working for to steal the Quaxium for
even Kira.
Kira, the one who's the boss of the bosses for this crime syndicate, turns out to be
the Phantom Menace.
Do you remember his name?
Yeah.
Darth Maul. Phantom Menace. So Darth Maul makes an appearance in hologram form talking to Dryden Voss and or to Kira because Dryden Voss gets killed.
Dead at the end.
And it turns out to be him. Did that get you like, did you go, oh, he's alive?
No. I appreciated them trying to throw in a surprise. I'm like, oh, that would have been good if it was a...
I thought it would be Vader.
It was a good villain to have, someone worthwhile having. I was underwhelmed by that. I'm like, him? Out of all people? Come on.
Well, that's laying the tracks for a potential Obi-Wan movie. Would that interest you? That's why I bring it up, this huge reveal. Because this could be leading to an Obi-Wan in between the New Hope and the last time you've seen him with Revenge of the Sith. Would you want to see another Ian McGregor movie? He's just the right age to play that era Obi-Wan.
No.
Really?
It has to be somebody else.
Ian McGregor was good in the prequels. He's the shining light of those movies. He's the Donald Glover of those movies.
Not a fan of the prequels. How many times did I say it? Everything about it. Don't like it.
So the potential of having this movie made as far as Obi-Wan having a final battle with Darth Maul, I think that would be interesting. That I'd like to see. No?
Not me.
Not you. You'd rather see... Okay, so what would you rank this movie? Or rate it?
We give it a 7.5.
7.5 lightsabers?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was fun. There was a lot of things that weren't good about it.
Would you watch it again on DVD? Or Blu-ray? Would you own it?
I'd own it.
Okay. I give it a...
If BVS is in this house, why wouldn't I have Solo?
Easy.
Explain that one.
And Justice League.
Oh, God.
And Green Lantern. Did you just snort?
I did.
I give it between a 6.5 to a 7.
I think this is the first time in history where I think I've rated something more than you.
Yeah, I think so. That's okay. I like your I like that you're...
I'm trying to be a little bit optimistic these days. There's a lot of darkness in the world. I'm
not
trying to contribute
to that.
You need
a little bit more Han Solo stories?
I'm trying to be, a bright light.
All right. Well...
I'm so sad that you were that disappointed.
I'm not that disappointed. I kind of...
6.5
is
a new low for you.
6.5 to 7. It's not a new low.
It's a low.
I've had lower.
How? Who? Which one?
BVS.
What lower. Did BVS get?
I don't know. I think I gave it like a less than 5.
I don't think so.
I did.
I don't know about
that. I gave it pretty low. I gave Justice... Did we do a Justice League episode? We must have. I think I gave Justice League a 6.5 out of 7. It's fun. I like I said, it's a fun movie. I didn't love it. I didn't feel like it blew my socks off. But I might like it more on subsequent viewings.
I didn't like the girl. I don't think the plot was meh. And I like that there was a real message behind it.
Which was?
You know, we talked about it already. And I thought it was fun and witty, and I like that certain things that we've always knew about were better explained. There was like an origin to a lot of things. Yeah, I liked it. I didn't mind it.
Vignettes. They should have done it with vignettes.
Can't do that.
Why not? If you could do it in 20 minutes with an episode of Life in Pieces and have every story connect and make sense.
Yeah, but that's all you if you do it in little spurts like that, you can't do a 2-hour movie in puzzle pieces.
I think you could.
You can't.
No?
How?
I think you started off with
Han and Chewie, the first time they met. Han would be...
And what was that centipede thing in the beginning? What happened to that?
I don't know. No idea.
That's what gross. I mean. Yeah. Certain things were a little bit... What was the point?
Exactly. Exactly. I would have liked to see a movie told with... maybe not non-linear the way Batman Begins is, where it's like you see what's happening, then they do a flashback. Then you see what's happening, then they do a flashback. It would have been interesting to maybe see it that way, or to have the first time Han and Chewie met each other. And then there's a connecting character there that you see throughout the movie, and it all comes together at the end. I would have preferred to see them cheat Jabba and then be on the run with Jabba to show where why they're in the canteen and why they're like, ah, Jabba, I was just about to pay you back. I would have liked to see it lead up to that point. That's what I would have liked, that story. And throughout it, you see flashbacks of, hey, Chewie, remember the time that we got the Millennium Falcon? How we had our eye on this ship all that time?
I don't know about that.
I would have liked to see it like that.
I'm sorry it didn't turn out that way.
It's okay. It's all good. It was still a lot of fun. Thanks to Martin Slam Duncan for inviting us to the movie, for getting the tickets for us. And if you're a Star Wars fan or a Han Solo fan, go watch the movie because you'll probably enjoy it. Don't listen to us. Listen to Daft J. Any last words? No?
Hakuna Matata.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. This is the Cave of Solitude. I am Eric Anthony. You are?
Lady J.
Take the pen out of your mouth.
Madame Je.
Leave us an email at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Tell us why Solo, Star Wars Story, is a great movie.
And tell me if Eric's theory, if he's onto something. Are the robots coming?
They're coming.
Or...
Bicentennial.
Or are we just gonna ride the wave?
What does that mean?
I don't know. What's the other? I don't
know. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon.